Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is February 26, 2021. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Coinbase institutional, retail trading volume grew at equal rates in 2020. UK must act quickly to ensure fintech lead, encourage crypto, Treasury report urges. US Energy Department floats solution to illicit crypto mining malware. Bitcoin drops below $45,000, ICE biggest weekly price loss since March 2020. Coinbase calls out Binance as it bemoans compliance burden. FATF says it is open to amending crypto travel rule guidance. Chinese companies that have nothing to do with crypto are pivoting to mining. Coinbase, DeFi could hurt us and US regulations make it hard to fight back. Now let's get started. Coinbase institutional, retail trading volume grew at equal rates in 2020. Coinbase's institutional volumes have exceeded retail every quarter since Q2 2019. As investors on Thursday got their first ever public glimpse of US cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase's financial results, a big surprise was just how far the company has come in diversifying its business mix away from the industry's roots in a primarily retail-driven market. Retail customers represented just 36% of trading volumes during the fourth quarter, down from 80% in early 2018. Coinbase's regulatory disclosures showed that means the bulk of volume has shifted in recent years toward institutional customers, mirroring the broader industry shift as more big investors nose into crypto markets, but the growth rates of volume from each demographic remained roughly equal in the past year. In the fourth quarter of 2019, Coinbase reported $5 billion in retail trading volume matched with $9 million in institutional volume. Fast forward to the fourth quarter of 2020 and the exchange reported $32 billion in retail volume, a 540% increase matched with $57 billion from institutional clients, a 533% increase. The shift toward more institutional business is reflected in recent reports of Coinbase serving as the agent or middleman for several high-profile Bitcoin (BTC) -6.27% purchases. The company has assisted corporate investors, including the business intelligence company MicroStrategy and the electric vehicle maker Tesla, led by CEO Elon Musk, who has tweeted favorably about cryptocurrencies. The second quarter of 2019 marked the first time Coinbase reported institutional trading volume exceeding retail volume since early 2018. Every quarter since, the exchange has seen institutional trading exceed retail volumes. UK must act quickly to ensure fintech-led, encourage crypto, Treasury report urges. The UK Treasury has released a new report which highlights the need to launch a new regime for the regulation and administration of crypto assets. The UK Treasury has released a report calling for a new regime for the regulation and administration of crypto assets. An independent review initiated by the UK's Chancellor Rishi Sunak and led by Ron Khalifa shows that the UK Treasury has set out a plan to retain what the report called the UK's leadership position in fintech. The report titled The Khalifa Review of UK Fintech states the country has the potential to be the global center for the issuance, clearing, settlement, trading, and exchange of crypto and digital assets. Khalifa highlights the European Union's markets in crypto assets. MiCA proposal has been developing its propositions and the UK needs to act quickly to preserve and maintain its position as a hub for fintech firms. The UK should aim to be at least as broad in ambition as MiCA but should also consider whether it can develop a bespoke regime that is more innovation-driven. a bespoke regime for cryptoassets should adopt a functional and technology-neutral approach, in line with the principles of the current regulatory framework, as well as the concept of same risk, same regulation, while being tailored to the risks arising from cryptoasset-related activities. There is the need to be flexible to deal with future challenges such as how decentralized finance (DeFi) should be regulated, said the report. The review concludes that the UK must continue participating in the International Financial Regulatory Group, the Global Financial Innovation Network, GFIN, and lead the development of policy and regulation in the areas of crypto and digital assets. In January, the UK Treasury released a consultation paper to gather feedback from stakeholders concerning the government's regulatory approach to cryptocurrencies and stablecoins. The responses to the consultation paper are being accepted until March 21. So far, the UK has been taking a cautious approach to investing in crypto assets. On January 6, the country's chief financial regulatory authority banned the sale of derivatives and exchange-traded notes, saying it considers the products to be ill-suited for retail consumers due to the potential harm they pose. U.S. Energy Department floats solution to illicit crypto mining malware. The DOE claims its detection software uses a deep learning mechanism to identify cryptojackers, but it needs private sector assistance selling the tool. Scientists at the U.S. Department of Energy, DOE, are asking the private sector for help in commercializing a super powerful cryptojacking detection algorithm that government officials believe can help data centers overcome crypto mining malware. Disclosed but sparsely described in a February 23 contract opportunity, the technology can sniff out illicit mining software, which harness hosts' spare computing power to mine cryptocurrencies with extreme accuracy. This detection software combats the increasing threat of borrowed cryptojacking malware, an expensive Spectre DOE said menaces data centers globally. Indeed, cryptojackers have been caught hijacking data farms, government computers, major banks, medical research supercomputers, and hundreds of websites to mine crypto, netting their developers millions of dollars often in privacy coins like Monero XMR, -1.39%. They cost their developers nothing but can drain electricity and computing resources from unwitting victim hosts. DOE officials at the Idaho National Laboratory are now keen to head off cryptojackers by offering their detection technology to private sector partners. Tech specs. Here's how the tech works in relatively simple terms. DOE's invention scans legitimate-seeming data processing applications for hidden cryptojackers that otherwise turn entire data centers into zombie cryptocurrency mining farms. It spots these exploits reliably using a deep learning mechanism that researchers say is far more accurate than up-down vetting known as binary classification. Here's how it actually works. This invention is a rapid test based on machine translation to verify a binary submitted for execution on a data center system is free of cryptocurrency mining malware. It uses the attention mechanism in deep learning to accurately and reliably detect cryptocurrency malware surreptitiously deployed on high-performance computing (HPC) systems. This approach is via machine translation rather than binary classification, the contract opportunity read. Last August, scientists at DOE's Los Alamos National Laboratory unveiled a neural network that they said could detect cryptojackers faster and more reliably than non-AI methods. This type of software watchdog will soon be crucial to prevent cryptocurrency miners from hacking into high-performance computing facilities and stealing precious computing resources, government researcher Gopinath Chenapati said at the time. It was not immediately clear if the technology DOE now hopes to license out is related to the Los Alamos invention. DOE representatives did not immediately respond to CoinDesk queries. The juicy details underlying DOE's invention rest behind a firewall that only prospective partners can access, but it is those corporate peers that DOE hopes to woo in an effort to develop and ultimately commercialize the early-stage cryptojacking detection algorithm. Bitcoin drops below $45,000, ICE's biggest weekly price loss since March 2020. Both Bitcoin and stocks had been showing signs of weakness since the beginning of the week. Bitcoin briefly dropped below $45,000 shortly before press time Friday, with the risk jitters felt on Wall Street the day before reverberating across the globe. The cryptocurrency fell to $44,279 at 7:40 Coordinated Universal Time, 2:40 a.m. Eastern Time, the lowest level since February 11 after it failed to keep gains above $50,000 for the second straight day on Thursday, according to CoinDesk 20 data. The latest bout of weakness may mostly be attributed to rising bond yields and losses in the global stock markets. The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield rose to a one-year high of 1.61% on Thursday, taking the year-to-date gain to over 50 basis points and triggering fears of an early unwinding of stimulus by the U.S. Federal Reserve that pushed stocks, Bitcoin and gold lower. These assets have benefited greatly from the massive monetary stimulus delivered by the Fed over the past 11 months. The S&P 500 fell by over 2% on Thursday, setting the stage for sharp losses in the Asian and European shares. While Asian stocks took a beating early Friday, the European indices are showing some resilience. Germany's DAX and UK's FTSE are now nursing marginal losses, after they dropped more than 1% at the opening bell. Comments by European Central Bank officials seem to have calmed market nerves for now. Right before press time, Bitcoin regained some ground to trade close to $46,629. However, the cryptocurrency is still down more than 6% on the day and almost 20% for the week. If those losses are held through Sunday's UTC close, the resulting weekly drop would be the biggest since the second week of March 2020 when prices tumbled by 33%. Bitcoin has suffered only two double-digit weekly losses and just eight weekly declines in the past 11 months. The data shows the bulls have pretty much dominated the price action since the crash of March 2020 and more so since early October. The cryptocurrency had rallied from $10,000 to above $58,000 in the past 4.5 months. Looking ahead, the relief for both stocks and Bitcoin could be short-lived, as the rising copper-gold ratio, a barometer of global growth, indicates that bond yields have plenty room to rise, as noted by Jeroen Blokland, portfolio manager for the Robeco Multi-Asset Funds. However, deeper declines, if any, could be short-lived, as blockchain data shows large traders are accumulating the cryptocurrency on the dips. The institution-focused Coinbase Pro Exchange has registered outflows of 25,000 BTC in the past 24 hours in a sign of persistent demand from U.S.-based institutional investors, according to Ki-Young Ju, CEO of blockchain analytics firm CryptoQuant. Both Bitcoin and stock markets had been showing signs of weakness since the beginning of the week. Bitcoin fell 15% on Monday and Tuesday, the biggest two-day decline in 11 months, after reaching record highs above $58,000 late Sunday. The cryptocurrency looked overheated at record highs and due for a correction. Coinbase calls up Binance as it bemoans compliance burden. Due to a lack of enforcement on the part of authorities, offshore crypto exchanges sell unregulated services to U.S. consumers seemingly without penalty. Like a closely monitored child complaining about a sibling who seems to get away with everything, Coinbase called out rival crypto exchange Binance in a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Staying compliant with a changing regulatory landscape in crypto was highlighted as a risk to its business by the leading crypto exchange in its S-1 form filed in the run-up before it became a publicly traded company. That compliance is particularly burdensome as the company has to compete with unregulated companies in other jurisdictions who seemingly escape enforcement, Coinbase said. The company went as far as to single out Binance by name, perhaps Coinbase's least regulated and most formidable competitor. We also compete with a number of companies that solely focus on the crypto market and have varying degrees of regulatory adherence, such as Binance, said Coinbase. The soon-to-be-listed cryptocurrency exchange pointed out that competitors that choose to operate in jurisdictions with less stringent local rules are potentially able to more quickly adapt to trends, support a greater number of crypto assets, and develop new crypto-based products. Due to limited enforcement by U.S. and foreign regulators, Coinbase continued, such companies are able to operate from offshore, while selling crypto exchange services and products to consumers in the U.S. and Europe, ignoring licensing requirements seemingly without penalty. The Coinbase public filing also seemed to allude to the recent scrutiny of Tether, creator of the widely used stablecoin USDT, -0.07%. Coinbase mentioned its own role as a founding member of the Center Consortium and the principal reseller of the USD coin, a stablecoin issued by Circle. Coinbase then highlighted that it is periodically subject to audits and examinations by regulatory authorities, a measure that will only now also be imposed on Tether and USDT. Coinbase also cited anti-money laundering, AML, rules being imposed on crypto exchanges by the Financial Action Task Force, namely the so-called travel rule that is being skirted by certain firms in far-flung jurisdictions. We may face substantial compliance costs to operationalize and comply with the travel rule and may be further subject to administrative sanctions for technical violations or customer attrition if the user experience suffers as a result, Coinbase said. With regard to the creep of AML rules and user privacy, Coinbase specifically mentioned the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN's, proposal in December 2020, that would require regulated exchanges to collect personal information from the owners of private self-custodied wallets, and report certain transactions to the federal government. There are substantial uncertainties on how these requirements would apply in practice, and we may face substantial compliance costs to operationalize and comply with these rules, Coinbase said. FATF says it is open to amending crypto travel rule guidance. The anti-money laundering watchdog said it is confident the industry will be able to implement the data sharing requirements by June. The Financial Action Task Force, FATF, is open to amending the travel rule, its guidance for cryptocurrency exchanges and companies providing crypto services. The anti-money laundering watchdog said Thursday it is confident the crypto industry will be able to implement complex data sharing requirements, known colloquially as the travel rule, by the time its 12-month review comes around in June. A U.S. Treasury Department statement said FATF agreed to seek public consultation on amendments to the June 2019 guidance. The updated guidance will help countries and VASPs understand their anti-money laundering, countering the financing of terrorism obligations and effectively implement the FATF's requirements in key areas, including how the FATF standards should be applied to stablecoins, travel rule implementation, and how to address the risks of peer-to-peer transactions, the Treasury Department said. Thursday's announcements came following a virtual meeting, where officials from FATF member nations met to discuss efforts to monitor or mitigate money laundering concerns and evaluate whether any nations were failing to meet the standard setters' guidance. The FATF has said previously that the virtual asset industry had made progress, but that there's a need for greater guidance to implement the revised requirements, including for low-capacity countries, according to a statement accompanying this week's meeting. During a post-meeting press briefing, FATF President Marcus Player was asked if any leniency will be shown to countries that might be slow to implement the recommendations for virtual asset service providers (VASPs) in those jurisdictions. This expected disparity in regulatory compliance from one jurisdiction to the next is referred to as the sunrise problem. We are now consulting on updated guidance on progress within the virtual asset sector, including the travel rule, Player said. We hope to get feedback from the key industry players, and I am confident that we will approve it in June so that it can then be handed out to the industry after that. The FATF has now updated its guidance to address specific areas, including on how to apply the FATF standards to so-called stablecoins, how public and private sectors can implement the travel rule and how to address the risks of disintermediated peer-to-peer transactions, the FATF statement said. The FATF will publish the public consultation draft in March, it said. Feedback from the consultation will inform the final guidance, which the FATF expects to approve in June. Chinese companies that have nothing to do with crypto are pivoting to mining. While these moves seem opportunistic at first glance, some of the companies are well positioned to get involved in Bitcoin mining. Baked goods and tea, emergency rescue, online lotteries, these are some of the products and services offered by U.S.-listed Chinese companies that have pivoted to Bitcoin mining in recent months, trying to capitalize on the current bull run. This is not just short-term opportunism. Access to Chinese miners, state-owned energy providers, and the U.S. capital markets make these companies well-positioned to swiftly expand mining operations. They can also earn high premiums in the stock market, according to industry pros. These companies' connections to Chinese Bitcoin, BTC, -5.78%, miner makers, local hosting mining sites and state-run electricity companies give them an edge over their competitors in the West, said Ethan Vera, CEO of Seattle-based crypto mining company Luxor. Some of the companies are partially owned by the Chinese government. They could get permits to operate in hydropower-rich areas or great deals with state-run electricity companies, Vera said. For example, Shenzhen-based lottery firm 500.com, which used to profit from helping China's state-run lottery centers sell tickets, has signed contracts with the State Grid Corporation of China, a state-owned energy company, to enjoy discounted electricity for its data centers. The company subsidiary, Loto Interactive, also has permits to run data centers in the excessive hydropower areas designated by the local government in Sichuan and the Tibetan Autonomous Region. Adding Bitcoin mining to these companies' businesses can significantly boost their valuation multiples, said Yulong Liu, managing director at Babel Finance, which is one of the largest Chinese crypto lenders. These stocks are trading at a very high premium, Liu said. Bitcoin premium. Shares of Nasdaq-listed Chinese online gaming company The Nine, which had the exclusive license to distribute World of Warcraft in China, rose by over 750% year-to-date after it announced plans to make investments in crypto in January. Sino Global Shipping, an international shipping company that said it would invest in Bitcoin mining, gained over 300% on its stock price on February 3. SOS, a Chinese emergency services provider, had an over 300% year-to-date gain on its stock price. The stock price of Urban Tea, a Chinese bakery and specialty retailer, increased by over 200% year-to-date after its pivot to Bitcoin mining. Given some of the company's current investments in Bitcoin mining versus their valuation, these stocks might have been traded at a very expensive price, Liu said. Being listed on the U.S. stock exchanges also helps these companies expand their mining operations quickly, said Lingxiao Yang, COO of crypto hedge fund Trade Terminal. However, the largest mining companies, such as F2 Pool and Poolin, have not gone public yet, which means they cannot just issue shares to raise money for expansion. If miners in China want to expand their operations or maintain cash flow, they would need to sell mined Bitcoin through the over-the-counter OTC desks or collateralize their Bitcoin to take out a fiat loan. Further, there are growing risks for them to do so because China continues to crack down on OTC trading and make financial transactions related to Bitcoin in Chinese banks even more difficult. Price impact. The sustained Bitcoin bull run appears to have emboldened these companies to make hefty investments in Bitcoin mining. Loto Interactive, which is majority owned by 500.com, set up data centers in China's Bitcoin mining hub, Sichuan Province, in early 2019. The firm now has at least three data centers in Sichuan, which contributed 96.7% of its total revenue in 2019. The data centers combined could generate up to 6.27% of the hash rate on the Bitcoin network, which would make it the sixth largest mining pool in the world. 500.com has been quietly developing its Bitcoin mining businesses for a few years, Liu said. Now, the lottery firm seems to be doubling down on Bitcoin mining as Bitcoin is seeing the biggest bull run in history. 500.com's stock price soared in December 2020 after its chief executive announced the firm would focus on Bitcoin mining, and saw a few more spikes when the company announced that it would to buy $8.5 million mining machines, purchase more shares of Loto Interactive and acquire the mining pool services of Bitmain spin-off Bitdeer. One reason the companies are going all in on cryptocurrency is the sustained bull run. We are currently around $50,000 per Bitcoin, which makes it extremely profitable for the miners, he said. Even if the price drops to $30,000, the miners are still going to make money. it's not only Bitcoin pushing these stocks up. Historic gains on Ether, ETH, -5.33%, the native asset to the Ethereum network, which is the second largest cryptocurrency, is another driving force. The Nine plans to invest in Ether mining, which has been highly profitable thanks to increasing gas fees and its staking services. High risks. A continued rise in Bitcoin may push mining companies' stocks higher, but a decline could hit many of these firms when they may not be financially sound otherwise. These companies are searching for a strong revenue stream while they are struggling with their non-crypto businesses. For example, 500.com has posted continuous losses since it suspended all of its online lottery ticket sales due to China's nationwide inspection on the industry in 2015. The risks know no boundaries. In the US, Riot was a biotech company that made diagnostic machines before rebranding as Riot Blockchain in October 2017. Its penny stock doubled in price after the shift. But what rises can fall. Shares of Riot Blockchain as well as Marathon and Hive fell dramatically when Bitcoin's price dropped this week, with the companies losing over $1 billion combined. In the meanwhile, 500.com suffered a 16% decrease. Riot is a success story, at least for now, but another firm pivoting to blockchain at about the same time as Riot, Long Blockchain Corp., is a cautionary tale for many non-crypto-turned-Bitcoin public companies. Long Island Tea Corp., a lemonade and iced tea company, announced plans to invest in blockchain and crypto amid Bitcoin's 2017 bull run. It changed its name to Long Blockchain Corp. The move came at a time when the tea company was desperately trying to stay listed on NASDAQ. However, it aborted its plan when the Bitcoin price crashed in 2018. The company later faced an investigation by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, and wound up losing its NASDAQ listing anyway. The boom in Chinese blockchain-related stocks in late 2019 is another lesson for companies that make opportunistic investments in this emerging technology. Shortly after Chinese President Xi Jinping called the nation to seize the opportunity on blockchain, a slew of companies that were unrelated to blockchain claimed they had launched ambitious blockchain projects. Their stocks soared. Some of the companies, including one obscure porcelain manufacturer, were accused by Chinese financial regulators of misleading investors by saying they are involved in blockchain, whereas no financial disclosures had shown they were. The stocks have steadily dropped to their previous levels since the gold rush in blockchain cooled off in the country. Coinbase, DeFi could hurt us and US regulations make it hard to fight back. Caught between megabanks and food-branded DEXs, how does Coinbase compete? The top U.S.-based cryptocurrency exchange, Coinbase, is cautioning investors that U.S. regulators may inhibit its ability to compete with rivals in decentralized finance, DeFi. Economic freedom is a necessary, if not sufficient, condition for human progress, CEO Brian Armstrong notes in a letter embedded within a new prospectus filed Thursday with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. One entity that could benefit from a little more freedom, the document implies, is Coinbase itself. The company dropped its Form S-1 to much fanfare Thursday morning. The prospectus portion of the document is meant to give investors all the information they will need when Coinbase shares begin trading on NASDAQ, likely under the coin ticker. As a leading centralized exchange, Coinbase is understandably ambivalent about DeFi and the growth of decentralized exchanges, DEXs, writing, "By combining the best of crypto and traditional finance, we believe that we are well positioned to execute on our growth strategy, enable the crypto economy, and achieve our mission of creating an open financial system for the world. However, we do face significant competition from parties ranging from large, established financial incumbents to smaller, early-stage financial technology providers and companies native to the crypto economy, such as decentralized exchanges." The prospectus doesn't attempt to quantify how much buying of assets useful in DeFi, such as ETH, DAI and USDC, the DeFi boom drove on the platform. However, its overall revenues more than doubled from 2019 to 2020. Doubtlessly, DeFi's bonanza must have played a part as retail investors converted fiat to crypto in order to participate. "We are the default starting place for new user journeys into the crypto economy," the prospectus states. The product has nearly 3 million monthly users and over 40 million verified users. Those are numbers any DeFi product would envy. Indeed, FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried thinks Coinbase is waving DeFi around as a competitor only because it needs to have one. My honest best guess is that it's intentional misdirection, Bankman-Fried told CoinDesk via email. If you say you don't have any competitors and also just reported $1.1 billion of revenue, no one will believe you, so they have to list someone, and so I don't think they listed DeFi as a competitive risk because they were scared of DeFi, I think they listed it because they weren't scared of it. DEX is ascending. That said, Coinbase is watching DeFi carefully. It sees developers like exchange offerings, yield farming, token wrapping and so on as exciting and important, but also reasonably worries about its ability to keep up. We expect new services and technologies to continue to emerge and evolve, which may be superior to, or render obsolete, the products and services that we currently provide, the prospectus states. Like any smart market leader, Coinbase has invested in the protocols that could disrupt it. For example, Coinbase invested in the DeFi money market Compound, hooked it up with a bunch of USDC for one of its key liquidity pools and then helped get its Comp governance token out the door. We hold investments in various DeFi protocols. These protocols achieve their investment purposes through self-executing smart contracts that allow users to invest crypto assets in a pool from which other users can borrow without requiring an intermediate party to facilitate these transactions, the prospectus notes. But still Coinbase remains wary. We do face significant competition from parties ranging from large, established financial incumbents to smaller, early-stage financial technology providers and companies native to the crypto economy, such as decentralized exchanges, the exchange wrote. As just one example, Uniswap has appeared at times to have more activity than Coinbase, but Uniswap is just one DEX, there are lots of them, such as Kyber, Loopring, Curve, SushiSwap and PancakeSwap, to name a few. Coinbase is well aware. We compete against a growing number of decentralized and non-custodial platforms and our business may be adversely affected if we fail to compete effectively against them, the firm writes. Such platforms have low startup and entry costs as market entrants often remain unregulated and have minimal operating and regulatory costs. Coinbase specifically mentions offerings on blockchains such as Polkadot and Solana. Matthew Finestone, on the Loopring business operations team, argues that the DEXs built on layers above networks like Ethereum could be a threat. He notes that Loopring's Layer 2 is seeing $25 million in volume per day, tiny compared to Coinbase, but its users have an experience which emulates Coinbase, but with the non-custodial benefits, he wrote. Decentralized exchanges have some significant advantages, not least of which is the ability to trade without counterparties or platforms needing to know the trader's identity. To crypto natives, this is and always was how crypto should be. To regulators, this one would suspect is exactly the problem. Regulatory goo. Users are leaving Coinbase because it plays by the rules. We operate in a highly competitive industry and we compete against unregulated or less regulated companies. The prospectus notes, in recent years, our commitment to compliance and the attendant customer-facing requirements, including customer due diligence requirements, have resulted in our customers transferring significant funds and crypto assets to these unregulated or less regulated competitors. Those entities don't have to worry about a short-sighted regulation steamrolling them worldwide, but Coinbase does, it writes. Regulators worldwide frequently study each other's approaches to the regulation of the crypto economy. As a result, the risks created by any new law or regulation in one jurisdiction are magnified by the potential that they may be replicated. If regulators don't stymie its mojo, Coinbase appears to believe it can be very big. Even now, it's worth noting, all the DeFi products tracked by DeFi Pulse have a total of about $40 billion under their control. Coinbase says it has $90 billion in assets on its platform. DeFi still has a ways to go, but Coinbase seems to be betting it can hold its lead and become a true giant. Coinbase ISNT, at its heart, basically Uniswap but with KYC, Coinbase's core user base and revenue base ISNT the same as Uniswap's, in fact it has fairly little overlap, Bankman-Fried wrote, he sees Coinbase's users the very casual retail investor and the very big institutional investor as completely different from those deep in DeFi. In short, Coinbase users may never go anywhere near PancakeSwap. How Armstrong fights. crypto is hard. So far, Coinbase has made it easier. As Coinbase clearly recognizes, decentralized or non-custodial platforms represent a strong competitive threat, but up until now, Coinbase has had an important moat which mostly neutered the up-and-comers, UX, Finestone admits, but he believes platforms like his are catching up fast. Still, Coinbase has bet that its users don't mind being subject to lots of state-mandated rules that come in from outside the blockchain. So far that bet has worked out. If it continues to, Coinbase seems to believe it can be very large. Armstrong noted this in his letter. Trust and ease of use will be as relevant in 10 years as they are today, and our work here will never be done. We may not always move the fastest, or offer the lowest prices, but we accomplish our goal of being the most trusted and easiest to use. Customers will continue to choose our products and services now and in the future. This is obviously modeled on an observation from Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, who famously said that his business is built on things that never change, like fast delivery and low prices. It's one of the ways that Coinbase appears to signal in the prospectus that it believes it could join the current tech giants of Amazon, Microsoft, Facebook, Netflix, and Google. For another example, the prospectus states, in the early days of the internet, Google democratized access to information through its user-friendly search engine, enabling virtually any user with an internet connection to discover the world's information. Similarly, Coinbase is democratizing access to the crypto economy by enabling anyone with an internet connection to easily and securely invest in and use crypto assets. But that potential makes it a target of, well, everybody. Coinbase is in an interesting spot. From the perspective of crypto natives, it's the incumbent, the suit and tie, the monolith, to the broader world, and especially that of finance, it's still an upstart. Caught between the megabanks and the food-branded DEXs, Coinbase is a Goliath with multiple Godzillas on one side of it and a growing army of robot Davids on the other. As if that's not bad enough, there's some chance US regulators will leave it fighting both while standing in quicksand. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.